Who is great? What does it take to even be considered great? At Biomat USA, we know that everyone has greatness inside of them because the plasma in your blood is exactly what doctors need to save lives. So the answer to the question, who is great, is simple. It's you, the second you walk through our door and donate.
Earn up to $325 per month when you donate at Biomat USA in Richmond on South Laburnum, across from White Oak Shopping Center.
You are a complete imbecile. Now, you want to get into that ring and you want to match wrestling ability with The Link? I'll be flat honest with you. The Link has no wrestling ability.
What does he have?
He has whatever he wants to have. He's got Putski's number. He rips and tears and hurts people. I don't care if he suplexes, arm drags, goes for a spinning toe. Means nothing to me. I want to make my presence known, and I want people hurt, and The Link's going to do it.
Tie it up, Doc.
No, we're going to sit and watch.
Can we get out
of here? You gripe all day. You want to go
Can
out?
Can we go somewhere?
Wait a minute. Hey, Gilligan, get this bucket of bolts going. Catalina.
Rock, excuse me, sir. I just want to ask you a question. Are you getting your ticket for
next week? I got to get in line here.
Get in line?
Yes, I got to get inside there. I got to see.
What's the problem?
I got to see my nephew. His name is Ron Bartlett.
You have a relationship.
Yes, I'm Uncle Morty Feldman. He needs me inside. I got to go now.
I ran into your
inside.
Wife earlier. Wait a minute. No.
I've got to go inside.
What are you talking about?
I have to. He's got the tickets for me for tonight for the Raw on discount. He's got the discount. He's a good bagel. He's a good boy.
Wait a minute. Uncle Morty, you seem to be having a little problem here with your beard. Bobby Heenan.
Okay, you know. I got
to
get inside.
I'll go to anyway.
Now, Mr. Bischoff, I've admired you since the day I came to work here. The reason I left the World Wrestling Federation was because of you. I wanted to work for a man like you with your initiative and your brain. I mean, you're the Donald Trump of wrestling. You make Steven Spielberg look like a guy running 8mm films in a garage someplace.
I'll make a deal with you. If you apologize to me and start treating me with...
For what?
For all the abuse you've given me the last 3 years. And treat me with a little respect... I won't get on your case about having this Tony Schiavone on all the time.
Tony Schiavone?
On Wrestling Challenge. You snuck him.
What's wrong with Tony Schiavone?
He isn't welcome.
By whom? By
He's
you?
He's not capable to be in the same announcing
He's
booth as me.
He's one of the premier play-by-play men in all of professional wrestling. That's
I don't
it.
Like him. I don't like him.
If I can last out here with you, let's get something straight here. This is my television program. I'm the host of it, and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
I don't think he's going...
Get out of here right now!
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay? If you're not leaving, then I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Goodbye!
A gorilla will be sadly missed. Now, he was one big tough man. He was a decent, honest man. And we're all going to miss him very much. And you know the pearly gates in heaven?
Yeah.
It's now going to be called the gorilla position. Goodbye, my friend.
Welcome back. Welcome, everybody, to the best damn show on radios on Perfect Plex Talk Radio, Soul and Sports BDSR Network, all brought to you by Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP Hopewell. And my name is Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell my name with three X's because without the likes of Bobby the Brain Heenan, Mike Knox would not exist. People, today is the best and worst of the weekend, and clearly, clear cut, the worst of the weekend is the loss of Bobby the Brain Heenan. People, today we will pay tribute. Today we will pay our respects. We will remember the great Bobby the Brain Heenan while we talk professional football, while we talk the big boxing match over the weekend. Today is a plethora, a smorgasbord, if you will, of discussion and the best and worst of the weekend. But as always, for those who don't know, first, the particulars. The number to call in is 347-637-3859. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter at Soul and Sports, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, Sports. The station giving you the identification at Fox Sports, where that's at 1340 a.m., Fox Sports, and also located on 96.9 FM in Richmond, Virginia. And make sure you follow yours truly. Again, my name is Mike Knox. I am loud. I speak loud. And fellas, if you're not making her loud, then frankly, that's your problem, that you're not big enough to spell your name with three X's like me. But again, people, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and today I wear it this way. Not just the wrestling world, but the world itself is heartfelt to lose the likes of the Weasel. Bobby the Brain Heenan. I mean this in the utmost sincerity of respect when I tell you there would be no Paul Heyman. There would be no Eric Bischoff. There would have been a lot of these guys you see today. J.J. Dillon was here. J.J. Dillon, his brother likes it, looked at as a great manager, but he had a great stable. He had the full horsemen. But J.J. Dillon, although I respect J.J. Dillon, no hate for J.J. Dillon, there has been no manager in wrestling. Matter of fact, Captain Lou Albano, Classy Fetty Blassie, Mr. Fuji, none of them, Jim Cornette, none of them compared to the likes of the great Bobby the Brain Heenan. Now, we know he has been sick for a while, and I was explaining to my wife how sick it is. But you know that, what's that hashtag F cancer? I mean, this man is known for the golden pipes of his voice, and you heard a couple of snippets there in the beginning of the show on how he would come across as a wrestling brilliant mind that he was. And for you to take his voice from him, at that point, to me, we had already lost Bobby the Brain Heenan. But physically now he has gone on, and the gorilla position now has a little bit smarter up there as well. People, this to let you know right now, this is when I know that I'm getting old. Okay, where guys I seen when I was a child that was already adult and full adult, fully grown in their 30s, you know, upper 30s and 40s are now going on. And I always echo the sentiments of one of my favorite movies, Old School. Damn it, y'all. Blue was old. That's what old people do. They die. Just a little humor in there. Okay, don't be sad about Bobby Brain Heenan. Let's celebrate Bobby the Brain Heenan. Also, as we celebrate the best and worst of the weekend, people. You already know what one of them has to be, right? This fight went down. This fight went down over the weekend, and people got their butts hurt. I mean, people were absolutely mad about this fight. And I ask you the question, are you mad about this fight?
Did Canelo live up to your expectations?
I think he exceeded them with the way he was able to handle the punch.
No, I said, I mean, did Triple G live up to your expectations? That's what I'm saying. See, that's why I got to do the press conference. Because
yeah.
I come right out the gate and just throw that at y'all. Yo, let me ask you a question. Well, I want to talk about the scorecard. No, we ain't gonna bamboozle and dance around. We're going to get to the scorecard last. Did Triple G live up to your expectations? No, but the referee, the judge, did Triple G live off? Did he live up to your expectations?
No,
When you hear that 5-second pause, I won.
Is there a win in there for Canelo in terms of he showed so many people that he was able to hang in with a guy that many
That's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm trying to tell you, forget hanging in there. He beat the brakes off his ass. Right? And he took some, and he rolled some, and he did the Matrix.
Yo,
I kept calling it.
One second.
The Matrix. When he did the Matrix on him, and he looked at that tape, and realized he made him miss 3 or 4 times, but I wanted him to count him when he make him miss. So make him pay. You came to the bank, and you ain't getting nothing out, I'm going to hit you. And that's what Canelo needs to do.
Now, Philly's own Bernard Hopkins saw that fight a different way. How did you see it? Was the fight closer than people think? Also, because of this decision, the draw, because of the one Georgia scorecard, 118-110, is boxing dead? Also, was this fight fixed? We're going to have our Redskins thing reporter, Wally Wild, calling in momentarily. Also, NFL talk, big winners and losers, and tonight is the go-home show, the Monday Night Raw. And even better news, people, the WWE is bringing back Starrcade. Wow, 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. As always, let's bring in nobody other than Jay Chris, Philadelphia. Our Eagles lost, man, and Andy Reid made us look bad. How you doing, Jay Chris?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right, all things considered, you know, with the loss of the Eagles and the loss of Bobby Brain Heenan. I'm doing all right, man. I'm out here. I'm actually getting what I call my Emmy Richmond on. And, you know, that means I'm cooking on the grill because, you know, he gets down. And, yeah, I'm feeling okay, man. All things considered, I'm feeling okay. Rest in peace, Bobby the Brain Heenan. I know we're going to get into that in a little bit. And the fight itself, good fight. We're going to get into that in a little bit, too, man. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, man, to be honest with you. Like I said, I like to throw a little humor in where there's sadness. And I will always go back to the old school movie. I mean, I'm just being honest, start a little personal business out here. You know this, but people may not know this. When my grandmother died, people went crazy. And I remember sitting there going, Grandma was old, and she would tie all y'all people up in her crib. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody know going to heaven, Grandma going to heaven. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not really sad about Bobby. Like I said, when we lost Bobby's voice, and he, you know, the throat cancer took that away from him, I felt we lost Bobby at that point. But it's still sad to know that he's physically gone, and I demand, tweet this out, King Vaughn, as wrestling fans, we demand on Monday Night Raw tonight a 10-bell salute. I demand. I don't want to just see the package that he was here. I don't want to see the package in the middle of the show, who he was, that we're going to do all that, and every other show was doing all that. We want the 10-bell salute because Bobby the Brain Heenan helped keep the WWE on the map. That's right. I said it. It wasn't just HH. It wasn't just the Ultimate Warrior. It just wasn't Andre the Giant. It just wasn't the Macho Man. Bobby the Brain Heenan was just as big of a star as the rest of those guys I just named. Also, welcome to the program.
Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, real quick. Let's just be honest. If it wasn't for Bobby the Brain Heenan, what I call the golden era of the WWE, the 80s and the 90s, would not have been what it was. It wouldn't have been the golden era. We'd still be looking for one.
I think he played such a ultimate heel to all the goody-two-shoe characters that existed. It was just awesome. Also, welcome to the program live from Richmond, Virginia. Emmy Richmond on the Twitter. Are you out there grilling? Because he said he's trying to get Emmy Richmond on, Micah. What's going on, Papa Lee?
Well, you know I usually would start off loud and boisterous just like you. But you know, sometimes things make you feel blue. Not like my Colts losing and taking the Arizona Cardinals to overtime. But as I go through
they
and
covered.
Say this round, they covered. I got to give them their due. They actually covered. But I'm still feeling blue. But you know what, man? It's all good in the hood, and it's not even Applebee's. But, you know, even though I don't have a lot of memories of him, what I do remember about Bobby the Brain Heenan, I like you said, I couldn't believe in a Paulie Dangerous who then became just, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and from now on, that whole phrase is just synonymous with who Paul Heyman is at this juncture for the new era fans. I remember how him and Gorilla Monsoon, I remember the old commentaries, I remember those, I don't know how in the world I remember those, and how they would interact, and how when you are a heel commentator, you actually are a heel commentator. You're not you know, doing what a JBL did, which is like when John Cena and the Good Guy come out, you kind of like, you know, slob on them a little bit.
How
no, you're the heel commentator.
Right, right. He,
you know
he
what I'm saying?
It.
Like, that's what you're supposed
he
to do. That's the role you play.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was all, I think that was one of the things that really made, like you said, it really made him, you know, valuable to the company, because when you didn't have anybody else that seemed to be a good bad guy, he was always a good one. didn't have to be physical to be a good one either, which is always good in my opinion. So
and people didn't even know that he used to be a wrestler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He used to
wrestle. Absolutely.
And so before we go into the bigger the rest of the show, the lines are on fire. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. If you want to have a voice, I see guys calling and hanging up. You must hit the number one line, okay? And forgive me, the people that be at Fox Sports Radio, Glenn Thomas and Doctor. I know I haven't been taking commercials a lot lately because we kind of moved this over to like half on air, half podcast thing that we've been doing lately. And I will get those advertisements out. I do give you that my utmost apology. You have stuck with me for 2 years and I have not been paying the bills and I apologize. But again, doing something different right now. I'm going to take some calls in the beginning of the show. We got Boston calling in. I wonder if that's his name or that's her name. They're calling in from Boston. But 617, you are on the Soul and Sports Worth on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. Remembering the late, great Bobby the Brain Heenan. How you doing?
Not too bad, man. How's it going for you today?
It's a good day, honestly. It really is. Like, you know, I we've seen the man suffer for years, right? So it's time for him to go ahead and rest easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Heenan, man, you know, the Brain, I saw him live a few times. You know, he never – I mean, he wrestled when he was younger. You know,
right.
He was one of those guys that went out and just got his butt kicked and then, you know, for the big name – then he became a manager. But, yeah, like the guy from Philly was saying earlier, and like Michael Lee was saying, dude, the guy was the best heel manager the game has ever seen.
Ever.
You know what I mean? Paulie Dangerously, Paul Heyman is a spinoff of that with a lot more energy. But Bobby Heenan really carried that attitude, that aura of I'm the jerk that's in charge. You know what I mean? He was like the short, stubby dude. And he had, like, Andre the Giant, Rick Rude, and he had all these amazing wrestlers under his belt. And he never cheated either. You ever notice that?
No, now that you point that out.
He never did, like, Jim Cornette would hit people with the tennis racket, and Jimmy Hart would hit him with the megaphone. Bobby Heenan just – he just played the rich white guy in charge role. You know, he was just a jerk that everybody loved to hate. But never cheated. That's what I thought was pretty cool about him.
No, that's awesome. I never even thought about it that way. And thank you for the call, Boston. If you want to stay on, stay on. And we will call back. Hold on for later on in the program. We have other things to talk about on the show. 724 is holding properly. Can you take that? Find out who that is. They hit the number one button. I'm going to make sure we get somebody on here. Mention them. Please do not curse. If you curse, I will hang up on you. I know we are simulcasting on Blog Talk Radio, but I am also on Fox Sports Radio. So if you cuss, I will bang on you. 347-637-3859. And hashtag Raw. That is the 10-bell salute. We want to see the man. We demand a Bobby Heenan 10-bell salute tonight on Monday Night Raw tonight. We need it. We want it. It should not come without that being on there. But a lot of things going on. A lot of things. Papa Lee, 724, who's that?
We got John in Pittsburgh, and he wants to talk about the Triple G fight and stuff. That's what he wants to talk about, the Triple G fight with us.
Okay, that's fine. Like I said, we're doing a different show today than we normally do. We normally just go into our topics. But tonight I'm taking calls, and I'm going to do that. I thought he was going to call here to try to talk trash about the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we could talk about that later. You said John from Pittsburgh, you are on with the Soul in Sports. How did you see the fight going?
Okay, well, let me start off saying this. I put a bet on Canelo Alvarez at plus 130. Here's my thinking, guys. I thought in a close fight he would get the decision because for the state of boxing, he's the younger fighter. He's the star.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing's in a very bad state, and I think they would almost, if it was close, give him the decision. Now, after watching the fight, I thought Triple G won a close decision. When I heard the first scorecard, 118-110 for Canelo, it absolutely shocked me, and I knew something was up. And finally, when they announced it was a draw, I almost thought it was predetermined for the simple sake. Those are the two biggest boxers in the sport, and what's better, a rematch? So obviously I lost my bet on the draw. Draws are a separate bet you make with the either the fighter that you lose on. So I was very disappointed. I got that burst of adrenaline when I heard 118-110 Canelo, but ultimately it was a draw. And I thought Triple G forced the action a little bit more. Canelo got some stronger counter punches in. But it's like any more with boxing, you're seeing what you're thinking and what this decision is going to be, and it's totally opposite. The same thing with the Pacquiao fight. So I think it's just, you know, these matches are just so crazy now, and it's like they're predetermining to decide what's better for boxing, and it's just losing a lot of people.
It's losing a lot. You know what, John, and thank you for the call. I'm going to comment on that real fast, and here's my thing. And I was literally just telling Jay Chris before we got on air, I felt the same way. I actually felt, John, as if that fight was predetermined. Because now, if you go back and follow us on Soul and Sports, anybody knows I live tweet on behalf of Soul and Sports during our boxing matches. I had Canelo ahead of this fight the first six rounds. I mean, I just how I judged it, how I scored it. And I can't wait for Wally to come on the program because I have no favorite in this fight. I don't really favor Canelo. I don't really favor Triple G. I favor boxing. I'm that kind of fan. I'm never really for my guy more than I am for the sport, because the sport has to go on past Michael Jordan, past Muhammad Ali, past the greats that come before us. So the sport must live, because you fall in love with the sport along with the guy. So I had it the same exact way. But then all of a sudden, at round 7, round 8, round 9, round 10, I'm like, hold up, this is a completely different fight than what I just got finished watching. So then I said, I had it coming out, we had a vote, 449 people voted going into the 12th round. I said, too close to call, Canelo or Triple G. Triple G had 51% of the vote to 49% of the vote out of 449 people in that vote. And then we had another contest after that, another poll after that, where I asked a question about the fight as far as, I'm trying to scroll up to it, I apologize, who you thought won the fight. This was even more telling. 62% thought Canelo won the fight. Now, you always get your 25 followers on Twitter to try to troll you and talk about, well, what fight are you watching? And I'm saying, well, maybe you're watching on a really bad stream. You didn't pay for the fight. I paid for the fight. I know what I watch. I know how to judge boxing. I don't want to hear CompuBox numbers about, oh, he landed more punches. He's throwing, what do you call them, J. Chris, pot shots? Like, you know, the same ones that Conor McGregor was hitting Mayweather with? I don't care about those punches. Those are not significant punches. I count significant punches, a significant jab, not just where he's tapping his forehead, getting scoring points. Like John just said, you give this fight to the younger fighter if you're going to have something this, you know, have something like this happen. But again, they went to the money, and it was about the money, J. Chris. Is that how you felt? Now, it came out a draw. I did, at the end, I will be honest, and put my big boy pants on, I thought Triple G stole the later two rounds of the fight, and I gave it to Triple G. I had the fight scored 115 to 113 is what I had in favor of Triple G, literally running the last seven rounds of the fight. Jay Chris, your thoughts of this fight, then Micah, your thoughts of this fight. Who you thought won and why?
Well, first of all, the fight I thought was very entertaining. If you're a fight fan, if you're a true fan of the fight game, I thought it was entertaining to a point. There were some things that I didn't expect to happen that happened in this fight, and I didn't expect Carmelo. I didn't expect Canelo to backpedal as much as he did. That was a little surprising to me because I felt like Canelo.
I thought the first two rounds of that fight, the first seven rounds, we're looking at Canelo, who's a counterpuncher, blind tag. Only way you can interrupt somebody, you got to say blind tag. My bad, Jay Chris. Blind tag. I thought in those fights, he didn't become the counterpuncher in those first six, seven rounds. I thought he pressed the issue, and he stood toe-to-toe with Triple G, and, you know, that's what I saw in the fight.
Well, see, the thing, well, it was in the more so in the later rounds. Canelo, I saw Canelo backing up a bit, which I thought was surprising because I thought that Canelo, Triple G's power, ate it and felt like Triple G couldn't hurt him, or
exactly.
Maybe he felt his power and felt like, yeah, he can hurt me. Let me back up. I don't know, but you know, for that to happen and for Triple G to walk Canelo down the way he was. He was walking him down. He was basically he was chasing him. Which, you know, when you're in boxing, don't chase the guy because, you know, he's backing up. He'll catch you coming forward. You know, he'll come forward while you're coming towards him, and you'll catch him. But he was coming forward, and, you know, he was chasing him down, and he did force the issue. And remember what I said on Friday. It will come down to me, it was going to come down to, you know, the type of judges, what they wanted to see. Did they want to see the aggressor, or did they want to see, you know, who was doing, you know, more boxing-type tactics? And for the fight that ended in a draw, I wasn't surprised. I was not surprised it ended in a draw for a couple reasons. One reason was I thought it was a very close fight. I thought 118 to 110 was ridiculous. I don't even know what the other two scorecards were, but I thought 118-110 was ridiculous.
She might have been finger-popping herself or something. Excuse me, Mama.
My goodness. Another thing that I thought was, you know, one thing that happened – if you were watching the pre-fight press conference, I think it was the day before the weigh-in, I believe it was, or whatever it was, Canelo, after the pre-fight press conference when he was being interviewed individually, mentioned a rematch.
Yeah,
which I thought I thought that was very strange that he mentioned a rematch two nights before the fight even happened. And, you know, with that happening, that kind of tainted the fight for me as a fight fan, as a pertinent watcher of boxing. That tainted the fight for me a little bit because now I'm like, okay, what's going on? Is there going to be some type of BS happening? Because you never hear a fighter mention a rematch, you know, unless they're asked about a rematch. He wasn't asked about a rematch. He just mentioned a rematch or whatever the case may be. Maybe they're planning to have a multi-fight, you know, series or whatever the case may be. But all in all, you know, if I had to pick one fighter making me pick one guy, I thought Triple G won the fight. I did.
Okay.
And I think Canelo had.
Did you have similar card that I had in that fight?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't score the fight. Unfortunately, I'm going to watch it again in sport. But you know, I just thought what I said was happened to, in my eyes, where Canelo had trouble with the movement of Triple G. Triple G was stepping off to the side, hitting him with uppercuts to the gut, to the ribs, and stuff like that. And I think Canelo struggled that just a little bit. Canelo did a little more moving than I expected too, but you know he just doesn't have the movement skills that Triple G has. And I just thought that was very interesting in this fight. And the rematch, which you can definitely account there to be a rematch, the rematch is going to be even more interesting than the first fight, I think.
Now, again, take a little bit from what you were saying there. I actually saw it completely different. Papa Lee, I call myself watching Bobby still in my mind, watching boxing virtually all my life, okay? And, again, I'm glad I see Wally calling in. As I said before, I tried my best. I had no favorites in this fight. I watched it just to see a really good boxing match. And I still, regardless of the outcome, I still felt I got that. Whether the guy I thought won the fight or the guy that people thought won the fight or the people thought it shouldn't have been a draw, whatever you got, you still had a great fight here. Whether Triple G won or Canelo won, you're still going to get a rematch. But like the fact that no one has the loss on their record, most importantly, Triple G not having a loss, which again, I swear to like you, I did think he streaked out those last three rounds. I had it 115, 113 winning that fight. But man, tomato, tomato, Micah, Papa Lee, Emmy Richmond on the Twitter, how did you see this fight? You watched the whole fight. You were there as I was doing my live scoring. Did you see it the way that I was scoring it, or did you score it differently?
Well, you know, I saw it just like you said, and we talked about it in the chat, where I saw in the 11th round and the 12th round where Triple G started to really take over the rest of that fight. His activity went up. He started throwing a lot more. He was trying to close out. Like when they say championship rounds, he literally was thinking, okay, I'm going to win it here. I want to win it now. And I saw that towards the end. In the beginning, I gave the majority of those rounds to Canelo. I probably would have gave him, if we talk about in the first half, I probably would have gave him four or five of the first six. And then I would have given the rest to Triple G because his activity started to pick up as the fight went on. Once again, as the casual on the casual in the group, you know, I was watching this and I was very, very satisfied. I was more satisfied with this as a boxing match than I was with McGregor and Mayweather.
Absolutely. You got a boxing match.
The only thing I was looking forward to was how long was McGregor going to last. That's the only thing I was caring about, and see if he was going to make it entertaining. But this, I was actually watching an art form. I was watching Canelo Triple G threw a right straight. Canelo ducked under it, came over overhand right of his own. I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. I was just looking at all the amazing boxing skills that was on display. And then the end came. and that crap made me – I wasn't mad because I'm not a hardcore fan. You know, obviously if, like, John Cena beat somebody who I think should have beat John Cena, you know, I would be really mad about that. Because I'm passionate about that, because I know that sports entertainment world a lot better than I know boxing. But I felt that Triple G got robbed because he earned the rest of the way. Now, obviously, we also talked about it in the chat, and we pretty much said it. You said it. You pointed it out, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Don't let it go to – if you don't want it to go to it, you don't put the hands – if you want to win, don't put it in the hands of the judge.
You don't put that. That's what Dana Dickhouse White taught me. I learned that from Dana White, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but he says it all the time. Now, I don't have to blind tag it because now I'm talking. As I've watched the fight twice, okay, I watched it with HBO commentary. I've watched it with some alternate commentary, which I don't know who it was. It was weird. I don't know who that was, but it wasn't in Spanish. It was a different – it had like Sugar Ray Leonard was like scoring the fight. And as I watched it, and again, I always say watch boxing without commentary. I don't know why I watched it this way. It's just how I found it. But I'm not a draw. It could have been. I mean, you could have really – the way I judged the fight, I gave Canelo the first six rounds. Going back and looking at it, round 11 might have been tears. So there you go. You give him six rounds. Versus six rounds, it's a draw. But Wally Wallace here, and like the guy who, because I love trollers. When you got 15 followers, don't come at me, bro. When you got 17 followers, don't come at me, bro. And this brother Wally's going to like the comments. And the boy Wally's going to like his comments about, you got a TV. I got a 65-inch LG 4K TV, brother. Yes, I got a TV. Wally, wow, he sees it his way always. Congratulations, Mr. Redskins, everything. See, I think you played the okie doke. You picked the Rams on purpose to win because you can't get a win. But we're talking boxing here now and first.
You
Wally,
are. How you are.
I'm not lying.
I'm going to pick Oakland, too.
We already know. When we come to that game on Friday, y'all, right? Know Wally's picking got Oakland. But the fight, I scored it. For Triple G, ultimately, no matter what you saw my scorecard before that. But during the fight, when we were tweeting, you thought Triple G dominated this fight. Bernard Hopkins,
well,
I got to take that with a grain of salt. Isn't Canelo like his fighter? Because isn't he like Oscar's like lackey? So, of course, he thought Canelo won. He said Canelo beat the brakes off of Triple G. I don't know about beating the brakes off of him. But I thought he did make him look mortal. Your thoughts, Wally?
Yeah, I won't say Dominic. I think there were swing rounds. I'm fair with swing rounds. I just thought that Triple G was his fight. You know, he dictated the pace. He dictated the fight. I had it about 115 to 113. I could see how certain rounds could be skewed. So I never argue that. I don't think he got cheated. I don't think Triple G got cheated. I think he deserved to win. I think it's better. I think it's a better way.
Yeah.
He deserved to win.
Way
because
to put
swing
it.
Rounds. There are rounds in there's certain rounds where you can go either way. Like, arguably, I gave Canelo the first three rounds, right? Arguably, you can say that Triple G had the first round. But, you know, so it's like certain rounds are swing rounds. So I never argue anybody's opinion on swing rounds unless you flat-out dominate it and then they give it to somebody.
What about
the
championship rounds? Then you were going
I thought
there.
The last two rounds, I thought Canelo had the 12th round. I thought he had the solid punches. And again, I thought that Canelo played too much within the middle rounds. Where he stayed back on the rope and he
absolutely.
Let Triple G win rounds.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I gave a lot of the middle rounds after the first three rounds. I gave a lot of those rounds to Triple G. I thought in terms of the championship rounds, I thought Canelo when he let his hands go and said screw it, and because you could tell he knew he was behind.
Yeah.
I thought the last three rounds I would say this. The first, the 10th round, I'm on his side, or the 11th. One of those rounds, I'm trying to go back in my memory. One of those rounds, I thought Triple G won, even though, you know, Max or whoever was saying, like, they thought Canelo had. I thought Triple G got it. I thought, but I did, the 12th round stood out to me. I thought Canelo had the last round. So I thought they both all fought. I thought it was a great fight. Like, I think, it, to me, in my opinion, it was one of the best fights I've seen. And just in terms of contrast of styles, Triple G showed me a lot in terms of his movement and how he could take Canelo shots. I mean, he did take shots, you know what I mean, and then vice versa. So to me, just looking at the fight, I was impressed that these dudes were like yeah, they were boxing more, but they were still landing power shots, and both chins were respectable.
You know what? You said something that he deserved to win the fight. He wasn't robbed. So I like that thought process, because I think what you said there was very telling of the fight. There were those middle rounds where Canelo could have put a stamp and actually won the fight, and he didn't. He played on the ropes. Two things before I get Hugo up in here. One, you mentioned, and it makes me go back to thinking why I thought it was maybe predetermined this was going to happen. Why did he do that? He was clearly ahead of the fight. At least I had him clearly ahead of the fight. Why would he play like that? And then two, which I got disappointed by, because if he was not playing, if everything we're saying is not true, and this just happened to happen this way, why the hell, I'm going to repeat that because I don't think nobody heard me, why in the hell did that man get tired, so tired? You went 12 rounds with Floyd Mayweather, who I get don't hit hard, but Floyd pressures you, and Floyd puts your whooping on you, okay, by tapping you like, you know, you keep tapping yourself over and over in the hand like this, eventually it's going to hurt. That's Floyd Mayweather, okay? So you go 12 rounds with the greatest of all time, but yet you get tired in this fight? He got tired in this fight. Hugo closes out in this boxing segment, Triple G versus Canelo Alvarez. You even said, we all know you're a Canelo Alvarez guy, but yet you still even thought Triple G won the fight. You actually said Triple G got robbed. Speak on that.
Robbed in the point that I think he definitely should have won. I agree with everything that Wally did say. Canelo definitely was the more effective puncher, or he had the most punches that actually meant. However, I thought Triple G absolutely dominated the fight, especially from rounds maybe 4 to like about 8, give it or 9. I'm going to go ahead and go, and I'm going to give the scorecard 116 to 112. I know you gave it 115 to 113, Mike. And something that Wally said, there was a lot of swing rounds that could have gone either way.
Either way.
But the thing is, a lot of people saw how much Triple G was just throwing punches. That's why people maybe thought that he actually did get robbed. But if you go back and look at it, and I know you watched the fight again, Canelo threw very big shots that you can make sure, that is a Canelo round. You know what I mean? And just like you, I went back and actually watched the fight again, and I see where you're coming from, where you're saying, well, yeah, you know, I couldn't see why you gave Canelo more of a leeway than I did to Canelo, me giving Canelo, Triple G one more round. I could understand exactly why you're saying that. Did he get robbed? No. Did he deserve to win? Did Triple G deserve to win? Absolutely. However, I think we could all be in unison is that we got treated to a fantastic boxing fight. We were all hyped for this fight, and we cannot wait for that rematch.
I won't buy that something.
That rematch,
I won't buy that some bitch a second time. I tell you that. I won't not pay
you
for it.
You wouldn't buy it?
Not a second time. I know, because I feel
the second one's going to be great.
I feel as a boxing fan, I was
trilogy.
As a wrestling
trilogy.
Fan, as a wrestling guy, I feel like that was a wrestling match, because
as a boxing fan, Mike, blind tag, as a boxing fan, you were robbed with that decision.
Mm-hmm.
With that decision, you were absolutely robbed with that decision. Not because there was an obvious winner, but because that's the type of fight that you want to see somebody win or lose.
Right.
So you were definitely
right.
So
somebody.
So right
won
now,
the fight.
I'm calling trilogy. Go ahead.
You're fine. And I don't care who would have won the fight, to be honest, because, again, I had it, 115, 130. If they had gave the fight to Canelo, I'd have been like, I'd have justified it. I'd have came on a day, and I'd have justified why he won the fight. You know what I'm saying? But that didn't happen. Either guy could have won the fight. I like how Wally came in here with his boxing expertise saying the swing round. Because there are – and, again, people have to understand, even the judges that we all think was retarded, okay, with the 118, 110,
Oh yeah, that was out of control though. That was out of control. That was out of control.
Fired, by the way, guys.
That was out of control. Like, swing rounds, but that's just out of control. Like, that's just out of control. Like, 118. Like, no. She needs to stop.
I'm not a professional boxing judge, and none of us are. You know, but I think we saw that fight.
Yeah, but even I. Even I ain't that dumb. I mean, even I would have had it at 118. I mean, you probably would have seen me being the casual I am. I may have had a 116, 114 type thing. I don't know. I probably would have had it around there.
But I
you know, that was
the two things that matter most to me when it comes to sports, honestly. And this has come from whether we agree or disagree, and this is why I love sports. The great, my founding forefathers, okay, said there's reality and there's perception, the Dan Patrick. The reality and the perception is based upon the vantage point of the person watching the event. You know what I mean? Because I saw it completely different than some. We all saw the fight differently. You know what I mean? So what the hell was she seeing? I just don't know or agree. So I'm going to ask this question, Jay Chris, and then I'm going to ask you the same question, Wally, just you two. Is boxing dead because of something like this? Because you say in Trilogy, you're saying the next fight will be better. Is this better or worse for boxing? Jay Chris?
I'm sorry. My mic was muted. I'm sorry. Is this better or worse for boxing? I'm going to say, okay, this is going to have to be a two-part answer. There's going to be a yes and a no. The decision was not a good thing for boxing. It was not at all. I can't see how a draw. I mean, it. The only good thing about the decision is the fact that we're going to be talking about it until they fight again. All right. But them fighting again is a great thing for boxing because now. You know, that's the fight that we need to see, not next, but those two cannot fight anybody else but them. Okay, so that's the fight that we got to see with them next. All right, but that's going to give guys like Crawford, that's going to give guys like Thurman, that's going to give, you know, those guys a chance to build up their resume. So whoever comes out on top with Canelo and Triple G is now going to fight one of these new young guys. Okay, so in that perspective, this is great for boxing. Because it gives a chance for the young guns to battle it out, create some rivalries down there, and then fight who. Because we're really considering the boxing world is, in a sense, considering whoever wins between Triple G and Canelo, the king of the division, right? But you know these young dogs out there, it's not baloney. You got to hear me out. These young dogs out there is vying for that crown. They want that crown, and they're not too far away from it. But there has to be somebody to take the crown from. Okay, and when we get that crown, these young dogs are going to take that crown. You hear it from me first. Canelo or Triple G, if you put a Thurman out there, if you put a Crawford out there, if you put a Porter out there, they're not beating any of those three once they get their weight up. And I mean that figurative, not literally.
I knew what you meant. You knew who I was coming at when I put the baloney track on, and why I knew I was coming at too. So why do you agree with him?
I think it's good. I think it's good for boxing. I'm on the side of saying, like, this is good for – like, a trilogy is in play now. Like, you think about some of the great, you know, boxing matchups boxing matches out there in our lifetime, and even not as notable, like maybe a Barrera Morales. Like, you get this opportunity to see two skilled boxers and have – and it won't be – the second fight won't be one-sided. You know you're going to get a good boxing match regardless of what happens. If somebody gets dropped, or whatever, you're going to see a good boxing match against two of the best in the business right now. I think you win. Like, you win. Even though it was a corrupted situation in terms of that 118-110, because at the end of the day, I could say it's a draw and be real. Hearing it's a draw, I have no problem with it because that fight was competitive. So if you get an opportunity to see that part two and you get a chance to see a part three of that type of boxing match, type of competition, not a one-sided competition, oh, somebody got dropped in the second round. We're talking about two guys who are at a high level, and you know that each of them can take rounds. Not one guy could dominate the whole fight. I think you win. You win in that situation. We complained about Pacquiao Mayweather not living up to the hype. Why? Not because one man dominate. Not because one man dominated. We complained about it because two people weren't putting in that action, putting in that work to a point where we could say, you know what, wow, this is a great fight. You got an opportunity to see a great fight between two boxers, and you can see that two more times. Yeah, you can't beat that.
347-637-3859 as we pay tribute to the late, great Bobby the Brain Heenan on this best and worst of the weekend. I will say this much. Well, nobody can say it better than he could.
You know, you heard of the long arm of the law. The big boss man has the long hand of the law. That's what IRS told me. He can take more bribes from people that have parking trouble and ticketing here.
You should never talk about anybody having their hand out. You, of all people.
Now, come on.
Let me tell you what IRS told me.
29th.
You want to talk to somebody? You talk to me. He's going to do all his talking in the ring. You talk to me. You want to talk about the final chapter? I'll be glad to talk about the final chapter. The final chapter in the life and history and the career of Hulk Hogan. See, because it's over, Hogan. I know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. You had 3 good years. You can't laugh at that. You were lucky. You made some money. You got a cartoon. You got some dolls. You rode good. You had it good. But you know you can't beat this man. Toughest man in the world. Nobody can beat this man. You think with all that blonde hair and a bunch of little Hulksters out there and behind you, you ripping that T-shirt off and shaking in your pythons, you think you can beat him, dummy? It can't be done by you, 10 guys like you, or 100 people like you.
Fox. The coyote.
You were
right.
Fox. It's the Fox.
And that signifies?
Fox Radio, 103.3 in Indianapolis.
And what does that have to do with you?
February 21st, I'm going to have my own radio talk show. I'm going to be making predictions, answering WrestleMania questions.
Your own talk show?
Oh, boy,
yes,
we're in trouble.
Our radio.
Congratulations.
And then the Fox turns into a weasel. It's going to be Weasel Radio from now on.
No, it is.
Don't get carried away.
I'm Indiana's favorite Bobby.
I thought Bobby Knight was.
Bobby Knight is definitely Indiana's.
Who?
Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight, basketball fame. Bobby Knight.
Oh, is that Gladys Knight's brother?
You know, Piper is probably one of the most vicious men in the World Wrestling Federation. He's probably one of the most unpredictable wrestlers in the World Wrestling Federation. He's a punk. He's a street kid. He fought his way to the top in this great sport. Why? Because he had it here. He's got intestinal fortitude. But you didn't show me anything, Piper, when you were laying face down and your mini skirt up over your head, compliments of the real world's champion. Now what are you going to do, Piper?
Nothing. I've been jobbed again by the president, Jack Tunney. He's done it again. When I negotiated for this match, the King, Harley Race, this Wednesday night against Randy Macho Man Savage, I was under the impression this match was going to Madison Square Garden, because like everybody that I know was bidding for this match. They were bidding for it at the Garden. They were talking about it. The L.A. Forum, every place was bidding for this match. But he put it in Kitchener on a Wednesday. Wednesday, this Wednesday in Kitchener, he's got that kind of a match there. Race against Savage. Well, you see, we're going to step all over you, Mr. Macho Man Savage, because I know the winner of this match is going to be really considered for a shot at the World Championship held by Hulk Hogan. So you bring Miss Elizabeth, a pretty lady like that. I don't know what she's doing with a piece of dog meat like you, but that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to be yesterday's news.
Brain, we've got a whole bunch of stars here as well that are going to be on the program later on.
I'm here.
I was not referring to you.
Look at these faces. It looks like they're having a movie shown at San Quentin.
Bobby the Brain Heenan, people, rest in peace. We demand a 10-bell salute tonight, wrestling fans all over the world. But Wally Wild is here to talk about the Washington Redskins and how right now everybody in this division can end up at 1-1. I said this division would be the coach of the division in football, and we shall see today. Wally, what'd you get from the game yesterday, brother, as the Redskins even it all up in the NFL record books?
Oh, man, like, it reminded me of old-school Joe Gibbs football, man. We saw counter trade. We saw a power running game. It wasn't really dictated on the passing game. It just reminded of old Skins football. You know, you used to hear about Hogs 2.0, and for the last some odd weeks, they looked like Hogs nothing. I don't even know. I'm trying to be nice, but there's like no resemblance of Hall's anything. And this actually in this game, they want to use a blueprint, you know, to use the term of Hawks 2.0. This was it. I mean, you saw Trent Williams, you know, pulling and just knocking people over. You saw Sean LaValle, who has been getting bad talk. He's the guard for the Washington Redskins, getting, you know, criticized for not being a guy who was physical at the point of attack. And he, to me, had a good game in terms of run blocking. And you saw what Robert Kelly got to do in the game. He had 7-8 yards in the first half, but, you know, went down with an injury. And then you saw the rookie P-Ron come in the game and step up with over, I want to say he had like 60 yards or 53 yards. And then you saw with Thompson, looking like one of the more versatile running backs in the NFL, being able to catch out the backfield, made plays as a runner and a receiver. So I saw a lot of good things. If this team could kind of use this this recipe, you know, for other games to come, like the Oakland game up next, you know, pound the ball, run it, and don't put all the pressure on Kirk Cousins. Right now he's not in a good rhythm with the wide receivers. Don't put that much pressure on him. Run the football and have him become a manager, just like this defense for the Washington Redskins has improved. So play that route right now.
So looking at this game, and I saw this game, and I'm watching this game. And as I'm watching this game, Wally, I'm saying the same thing you're saying, like, yo, they're running the damn football. And as I'm watching the Eagles not run the damn football, I'm watching the Washington Redskins run the damn football. When will coaches today, while in your opinion, understand no matter how the NFL tries to change, right? I will always go back to Remember the Titans. You remember that movie, right? I know you know that movie very well, right?
Yeah.
Coach Luke.
Yeah.
He said, Coach, you got to switch it up. He said, no, I don't. He said, like, split Novocaine. Give it time. It will work, right? That's the run game. You cannot abandon the run so early. They've gotten away from that. Why do you think teams have gotten away from that? The Redskins showed that they're the first team that should have rushed for over 200 yards. I know it's only week two, but they did it, okay?
Yeah.
How do you – that has to be the recipe, I'm sorry, to take the ball out of the hands of Kirk Cousins so he cannot make the mistakes. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's not a game manager either. I don't think he's a game manager. I think he can win you ball games. When you make him go back there and throw 39, 40 times, that's not his game. Is this the game is this the recipe for the Redskins to be successful in your mind?
I think it's the best situation right now for what's going on. We can't go off of what happened last season, because last season, the year before last season, Kirk Cousins had, you know, Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. They're not on this team anymore. So, like, what DeSean Jackson brought to the table in terms of making coverage just a little bit easier to recognize won't be there. Sean McVay, his offensive coordinator, is in L.A., and, you know, so his comfort level isn't the same. So in my opinion, you know, his best situation is to run the ball right now until he gets a good rhythm with, you know, Terrell Pryor or, you know, Dotson. You know, because Jordan Reed is, you know, battling an injury. He's still playing tough. You got Jamison Crowder, who's, you know, one of the better slot receivers in the game. But you run the football, you take away from the mistakes. You know, trust on what you have. Trust on Chris Thompson. Trust on P. Ron. Trust on Robert Kelly, Fat Rob, if he's going to be healthy. You know, he's getting his ribs checked out because it could be a fractured rib, and he'd be out for some time. But, yeah, trust that situation. And you see that the defense has improved. You got inside linebacker Zach Brown, who's running all over the field. You got improved play from Rashard Breeland. You see what, you know, Josh Norman continues to do. So I just think that right now, the way the defense is set up, due to the good defensive coordinator in Minuski, it's improved. So don't make any mistakes. Play solid football. Run the football. It's a formula. And to your point, Mike, when you were referring to about why, how come NFL teams don't do it, because it's not sexy. You know what I mean? Like, but if you have a team that's good on defense and is good, has a good running game, we've seen it. The proof's in the pudding. That team goes to playoffs 9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm. I like pudding. No, so I'm mm-hmm. just saying I like pudding, and all shout out to Bill Cosby because of that. You know, I take a pudding pop any day of the week. They don't even. I'm not. You know what? After this show, I'm gonna go buy some pudding pops, okay, for Bill Cosby and the Washington Redskins, okay? Because although, and I think it was hard. I grew up hating every team in the division, but now that we cover them, and I've been in that stadium, and I've been in that locker room, you know, around the, you know, the public relations team and things like that. That's a really, you know. From what I got treated with respect. You're there. You know how they treat us good. as reporters of that team. And so I tend to like what they do. And to me, that's the, I want to see them be successful. I want to see them be successful. So when you look at this going into an Oakland game, and I know we're not going to dive into a lot of that on Friday's program, but all BS aside, all joking aside, can they really come out in this game against Oakland and win this game? I know they say even any given Sunday, so they have a chance, right?
Well, I mean, they got a chance at home, so they got a chance. But it's going to be a tough one. I mean, you're seeing what Oakland's doing with Derek Carr, Marshawn Lynch, Amari Cooper, and Michael Crabtree. I mean, that team is deep. That team is awesome offensively. Defensively, they're a little weak. So, but again, the Redskins haven't shown anything in terms of passing the football to show you they have an explosive offense. But I'm going to be interested to see if this team can run the football against the Oakland Raiders. And, you know, because I think Forte had a good game, average yards per carry against them on Sunday. So they may be running opportunities, but Oakland's a tough task. I mean, we're talking about a team that, to me, is a Super Bowl contender. This is one of the better football teams in the NFL.
So, you've been calling them for the last 3 years in this program.
Talent-wise, Oakland's got it. You know, talent-wise, I mean, Khalil Mack, I mean, back, you know, in terms of a pass rusher. To the question, they can. There's an opportunity. There's a chance for them to beat Oakland, but it'd be a tough task.
Well, I can't wait to see this. So I'm telling you right now, right here, right now, live on air, I demand, Wally. I know you're like, what? Man, you ain't demanding nothing to me. I'm demanding audio of Marshawn and Carr on this program for next Monday morning, sir.
That's late night. We'll see. It's an 8:30 game. I'll try. You know.
When you're at work Monday morning, just ship it to me before the show starts. That's all. Just ship it to me.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll try. Usually, you know, I camp at the Redskins. Usually, I camp at the Redskins thing first, and we'll see if I can get there. I have to get the Redskins thing first.
Well, you know, you'll get it. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So. We do have one more game on the docket, if you will, to pick this today, and that is the game tonight between the New York Football Giants and the Detroit Lions, right? Yeah, we had to pick that game. We should pick that game. Who want to pick that game? I want to pick that game. You want to pick the game? So we're going to pick that game, okay? The Lions are the underdogs in this game. Giants are favored by 3. I believe last time I checked, Odell was playing in this game, or he's a game time decision. Who you got in this game? Lock it up, Hugo.
I'm going to go with the New York Football Giants.
Micah, who you got in this game tonight? Monday Night Football, I won't be watching because it's the go-home show, the Raw, the No Mercy.
Yeah, it's going to be show me the money, Stafford.
You're going to stop trying to act like me, okay? That's my line.
But you're
That's
taller than me.
You know what?
I know, but you're taller, and I want to be like you when I grow up, like actually figure out a way to get taller.
I was a little bit taller. I wish I could have baller. Go ahead, Jake, Chris. Who wins this game, man?
I'm going to go with the New York Football Giants.
New York Football Giants. Wally, wow. How you got this game going tonight? Giants are favored by 3 points.
Yeah, I hate the Giants. I'm going with the Lions.
Wally refuses to be not pick with his heart. I also hate the Giants, but that's not why I picked Detroit. I just think that the Lions I just think that the New York Football Giants have the worst offensive line in football. I just really, really think they do. And it's really all about that. I think the offensive line is the worst in football. Jay Chris, Wally, why you disagree? Because I think they are the worst in football.
No, I think it's bad news. I think it's horrible. Eli ain't playing good either, though. It ain't just the whole line. Eli don't look
And
good.
Eli hasn't been playing well in the last 2 years, and nobody wants to give him
that.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I'm just saying. Eli never won two championships. If he never won two championships, he wouldn't be the quarterback of New York. I feel that.
Well, that's
I believe
solid.
That.
Unfortunately, he did. But he did win them. You know?
He did, though. Mm-hmm.
But he did win them. Hey, guys, we have an impromptu show today because today is hashtag National Cheeseburger Day. And I'm going to make cheeseburgers for Bobby the Brain Heenan. So, before we talk wrestling, I got to give it to you how we feel it. You know the words. Try to be best because you're only a here, Jay Chris. Come on, Jay. Come on.
Hey, man.
Best and worst of the weekend, Wally Wow.
Oh man, it's all about the fight. The best of the weekend was just the skill we got to see in that boxing match. It was like it was awesome. The worst of the weekend is that 118-110. Like that annoyed the out of me. Like 118-110. Like don't mess it all up. If you wanted to BS it, you could have made it like 116-112 or something, or even 115-113. No one would have been mad at you, but 118-110 is ridiculous. Don't do that to a great night. Like that night was something special.
Jay Chris, best and worst of the weekend.
Man, at the dismay of copying off Wally, I'm going to have to change it up. You know, the worst of the weekend is I'm going to have to say the Eagles losing to the Kansas City Chiefs for me. They, abandoning the run the way they did, it was just pitiful. It was awful.
Zero carries. Zero.
The best of the weekend was the fact that they actually hung with the Chiefs. And people mm-hmm. just, you know, people including me just thought they were going to get waxed. I thought they were going to get washed by the Chiefs, honestly. So, the fact that they showed up and, you know, they were able to hang with what people are considering a Super Bowl contender, that's a promising thing for Eagles fans. So I like that.
Best and worst of the weekend, Hugo.
You know how that was. That was hell right there, man.
What? Best of the weekend, Papa Lee.
All right. Best of the weekend was watching Dallas get shellacked. It's always a good weekend when you see Ezekiel Elliott. Look at him. He was so starving. He couldn't do anything. That, you know, defense of Denver was handling their business, and we all get to bask in the glory of the loss of the Dallas Cowboys. That was only
man,
as
good.
Good
call, Micah. Good call.
Only as good as laughing at the chick who is not as worse as Bobby the Brain Heenan dying, but man, did she come close? Because I thought some SJWs were gonna have to come out and defend her and say, "Well, you're anti-woman if you say that she don't know boxing," but she doesn't. Like the score tells you that. I'm just saying.
Everything was good just a week ago. Everything was great about a week ago. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We going to the Super Bowl about a week ago.
Listen. My best and worst of the weekend, honestly. I can't. I'm not going to be like Jay Chris, and I'm going to say what I was going to say because Micah said it just before me, was the Dallas Cowboys losing. And can I just say this? I did call it my upset special of the week. I did, Gary. Matter of fact, I locked it up. It was a lock, not an upset. It was my lock of the week. People are sleeping on the Denver Broncos. That defense is probably one of the best defenses we've seen in the NFL in quite some time. I'm putting it up there with that Seattle defense from about 4 years ago. Okay, when they were young and fresh and yelling, don't you ever put somebody like Michael Crabtree in front of me. That defense. This defense is legitimate. That quarterback, listen, I say he's my favorite quarterback of all time is Randall Cunningham. I told you guys I think the best quarterback of all time is John Elway. Now he's the best GM right now, and he's proven it. So what about what he did about Brock Osweiler? And the worst of the weekend, like, I can't get away from it, is the loss, although I'm not too sad by it, of Bobby the Brain Heenan, but it's really the fight, the way that it ended. I felt like I was robbed as someone who spent their money on that fight, that I was robbed from having a clear-cut winner in that fight. So at this point, guys, I'm going to let Wally go. I'm going to let Jay Chris go because it's time to talk professional wrestling.
Bobby Heenan began his professional wrestling career in 1961. While he toiled as a wrestler for years, his true passion was to be a manager. Not only did Heenan fulfill that wish, he flourished.
Without a doubt, the best wrestling manager ever in the wrestling history.
Fittingly, Heenan was dubbed the Brain as he acquired an unprecedented stable of talent.
He just was instrumental in making the careers of so many of the great wrestlers.
I don't know that Bobby himself could tell you what caused and what created his success. He was born with a gift of being able to entertain.
And Heenan was never more entertaining than when working with his partner and dear friend, Gorilla Monsoon.
Worrying for humanoids, like you white suckers out there that can't make the payment on your 65 Plymouth, they're going to repo.
They were just great together. They were funny to watch. And that's probably why they had a good relationship together.
Have you gotten a lot of cards and letters?
I was just going to mention, there's a lot of people concerned about me. I understand that, in Beverly Hills, I happen to know that my mailman right there is hunchback from just carrying my mail.
Bobby and Gorilla were like Abbott and Costello.
Bobby Heenan would always come with something that was off the wall, a statement that you would least expect.
I told him not to touch that midget. You never touch a midget. You never know where they've been.
You're disgusting. You're completely disgusting.
Bobby has the best wit of anybody I've ever met. He's as good as any stand-up comic on television. He's as funny as anybody I've ever heard.
How long have you been married, sir?
21 years.
You realize on your wedding night, if you'd have killed her, you'd be out now?
He's one of the funniest, most sarcastic, probably the wittiest guy I have ever met in my life, and I've met a lot of them.
You just love to hate Bobby Heenan, and when the crowd started chanting, Weasel.
I don't have fur on my body. I do not have a tail.
They hated him and booed him, but yet they enjoyed when he came out because he was entertaining. He was very animated.
Bobby was so red hot as a manager. All he had to do was one weasel chant, turn his head, and the place erupted.
Bobby the Brain Heenan, rest in peace. But today, guys, on Monday Night Raw, the go-home show, the No Mercy, I'm now calling it the Ron Strowman Show. If we can call SmackDown the Kevin Owens Show, I'm calling Raw the Braun Strowman Show, because they are gearing up towards a epic fail, guys. That's right. I said it. I'm not afraid to admit it, guys. They are setting you guys up for failure, because if you think for 1 second that come Monday we're going to be talking about Braun Strowman as the new champion, you're fooling yourselves, guys. Tonight, when we get the Bubba Ray Dudley refers to John Cena with a microphone saying it's a lightsaber, and he's been slicing down guys for decades. I'm going to say this to all you guys that disagree with me. Roman Reigns is not bad on a microphone. He just looks bad on the microphone compared to John Cena. John Cena is better on the microphone in a top, I'm talking about top 10 of all time category, people. This is why. No, he's not the funniest. No, he's not the wittiest. He's never been put in a bad position where he cannot come back with something to say. That takes skill. That takes wit. Everybody doesn't have that. We had Road Dogg on the show that said these younger guys are having a hard time with what they're making them do to what they have to do. And here's another problem that I think wrestling fans, you got to take a chill pill, guys. You got to take a chill pill, because John Cena has the freedom to say whatever the hell he wants to say. Roman Reigns doesn't. He just doesn't. And if you continue to sit here and just bash, I just think you guys missed the point. I personally have enjoyed every single moment between these two guys, and I cannot wait to see tonight and what they have for more. Also, as the Braun Strowman shows continue, we have Enzo Amore, who you could say what you want to say. People can recall him going into Cruiserweights. Well, we didn't really call it, to be honest with you guys. Chris Jericho called it, and we all copycatted it, okay, about him going to the Cruiserweights. But I like The Miz. I was not always a fan of The Miz, but I like The Miz. The Miz completely buried a whole entire division with that promo last week. Y'all can say what you want to say about The Miz. Y'all act like The Miz can't do no wrong. That was wrong. He also has the liberties, like John Cena, to kind of say what he wants to say, and I think he went a little bit too far on Monday Night Raw last week. And the return of Starrcade to the Greensboro Coliseum this November, I am coming to Charlotte for this event. Welcome to Perfect Plex Talk Radio. Papa Lee, your thoughts on Monday Night Raw tonight. Those were mine.
So, you're going to just take away my dreams of Braun Strowman?
Yeah.
Of Braun Strowman coming away with that Universal Championship?
You know what? Temple of Doom, sorry. I knew I had it wrong when
I said it,
and I'm glad you fixed it.
It's okay.
Thank you, sir.
It happens. It happens. You betrayed Sheba. It's okay. You betrayed Sheba.
Oh,
that's
no,
what you need to know.
Not the Sheba. Not the
it's
Sheba.
All, I mean, like I want to hope against hope that if anyone has legitimized outside of Samoa Joe, outside of The Undertaker, outside of John Cena with a chain wrapped around his hand in an Extreme Rules match, if anyone is legitimately... you know, of course, Goldberg in less than a minute can beat Brock Lesnar. I will hope and venture to think that it's okay to do that for one Braun Strowman. Now, granted, at the same time, I understand it's a B pay-per-view. You know, you can say something like that, something really good like that, a good payoff for something like that at Survivor Series. This is one of your big four. And I will very much like to see the championship on Braun to see what he does in that position. We've seen what he's done being in the main event picture for the last few months, and he has done a very, very good job for people who want to hate on Roman Reigns. I hate Roman Reigns' booking, not him himself, because if he was booked like Braun Strowman, of course, you know, a lesser dominant version as far as a monster, but just a bad guy that you want to get behind because he's so good at being a bad guy, then I'd be fine with him. But at the end of the day, you know, I hope against hope that Braun Strowman's gonna come with that championship, and he's gonna look even way stronger tonight. I mean, Brock Lesnar's been letting him do whatever he wants
mm-hmm.
to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that means that Brock Lesnar as a performer has a lot of respect for what Braun Strowman is bringing to the table, and WWE obviously is free to hire him to let him do that. I can't necessarily agree with you on the Enzo Amore and the Miz thing because the Cruiserweight division is
mad.
I know you don't read the dirty sheets. I do not.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Hashtag death the dirt sheets. I understand you don't read them. I find the news and stuff. I listen to Ollie Davis and stuff every once, you know, almost every other day and stuff like that. Try to find
listen,
the day.
I do listen to support Russell Talk on YouTube. I do listen to Ollie Davis.
Support
I watch
Russell
show.
Talk.
Every day I watch that. I do watch that, but I take it, as he even says, with a grain of salt.
A grain of salt. Yeah, but you can see, like, when they talk about how Baron Corbin Enzo has been, like, literally, like, buried in the locker room, you can see the results of that, and you can see how it's kind of justified with the way they've been booked. But I got to give it to Enzo, though. Even though he was getting handed left and right and just getting destroyed, for him to even have the balls to come back with that line, you know, you're trying to steal my catchphrases. Well, how you doing? But when that child's born, you're going to be asking, who's your daddy? I was like, oh, I don't think that was scripted. Because I thought, because the way Miz reacted was like, you weren't supposed to say that, you son of a gun. I'm actually pretty excited for that. To see if Enzo can look somewhat strong, because the Cruiserweight division is pretty much Neville. And then, you know, if he actually gets a – see. If he actually has a program with Cedric Alexander, we'll have a good time with it. Because Cedric can beat Neville. Like, they got both of them can pull out moves out of nowhere. Both of them have a good striking skill set. I mean, the lumbar check is, the lumbar check, the way that looks coming on a guy like Neville's size, oh, it'll be fantastic. That's just my opinion about it. But Cedric Alexander, I guess, I don't know. He's black. I mean, you know, They gave it, and he doesn't dance like Rich Swann, so I don't know if they into that or not.
I think my best of the weekend would have probably went to Marshawn Lynch dancing. That probably should have been
Marshawn Lynch was really in there, ESPN decided to pull a fake news thing and not tell the whole story as to the Jets player that commented on him dancing. They didn't tell the whole story. They told the clickbait part of it, and then, you know, they told you the truth later on, you know, fake news. Here's the one thing I'm curious about. Do we even care about the women's division?
I do because I'm very excited, Hugo. What about you for the Fatal 4-Way match? Because it's been long overdue for us to see a dominant. What Nia Jax is attempting to do is what the wrestling fans thought Awesome Khan would do before she was pregnant with a child. Hugo, your take on that? I think it's well overdue.
Well, what's well overdue about Nia Jax doing what she's
about the
to
women's
doing?
Division having about the women's division finally having a dominant champion, because Charlotte, as much as we love her, hasn't really been dominant. Sasha Banks hasn't been dominant. Nia Jax has been dominant, and I think will continue to be dominant.
Well, Charlotte was dominant, but obviously, Charlotte
can't be dominant when you're a 6-time champion. You can't be dominant when you're a 6-time champion in a year. That's not dominant. Dominance was CM Punk. Dominance was Demolition, was New Day. That's dominance. Dominance is Brock Lesnar.
If you remember, it was when the women's division she was taking care of matches. Like, oh, let me go and try this women's division. She was dominant at that point.
Hugo, we're having major issues with your phone. We're having major issues. We are having a very
Mike,
hard time.
Mike, let me call back.
Okay. 347-637-3859. Now, speaking of Starrcade, which I'm very hyped for, okay, Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes is not so hyped for this. You ready for this one, Micah? You ready for this one, King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter? Starrcade was created and delivered by the late, great Dusty Rhodes. WWE did not want to do it while he was alive. Now they want to do it while he's gone and not give credit. That's Brandi Rhodes. Cody responds with, if you're afraid of an event, won't sell because the holiday and want one my dad's events, at least book Goldie. Michael P.S. Hayes responds and says, so Cody, you're right. We should have Goldie on the show. By the way, what are you doing that night? You want to team up with your brother? No response at that point. What's your take on that one?
Wow. I didn't realize that. And see, these are some of the things that as I was growing up, I didn't realize. I was just watching wrestling. I didn't know that one Dusty Rhodes had his hands on creating the spectacle for the WCW brand called Starrcade. I didn't know that, and I thank you for that education. And I find that is a shame. I'm saying a shame that you don't bring that back until after he's dead, just so that he don't get credit.
I don't agree with that. I personally I know that people will always think that I drink WWE's Kool-Aid, and you can think that. I really don't care, to be honest.
I don't know, bro. You pulling a KD. You put on a KD with your own account, doing your own thing.
Listen, don't ever compare me to somebody who goes and plays with the best, because I stay alone, I be alone, and I'm the best alone. Okay. This is the best damn show there ever was. Okay. And this is why I stand by what I say, because I refuse to dibble and dabble in Dave Metzger's crap, or I refuse to dibble and dabble in Peter Rosenberg stuff. I don't get into that. Okay, and this is why you've heard many interviews here. I've been doing this for over 8 years. Okay, all right, and I've interviewed you name them. You thought you interviewed them? I guarantee y'all had them first. Okay, and I will see it. I'll tell them all the same thing every interview. You heard it with the latest interview we had with Road Dogg. I want to know from your mouth that this happened. I don't believe in dirt sheets. Hashtag depth of dirt sheets. I don't believe in. I just don't do it. So why? To me, this is why. They hate Dusty so much that they waited till he died before they brought back Starrcade. But yet, when he passed, matter of fact, I apologize for earlier in the program when I said we haven't had a Tim Bell salute since Dalton Moyer. We had one for Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes is probably one of my top five wrestlers of all time. Dusty Rhodes got me into wrestling before I realized it was an HH. Okay? They get it. They gave that man a trophy that's larger than life. I don't think with the publicity of Dusty Rhodes that they would do that out of spite and not give credit. Like, what do you give credit? How do you give credit to an event that technically, although he came up with the name for it, they own. They own the rights to any and everything that was WCW, NWA. They own it. They're coming up with this because they have nothing else to do. They're coming up with this because they haven't been selling. Fans have hated names like Great Balls of Fire. Tweet that. You complain about a pay-per-view called Great Balls of Fire, but yet they go back and pay homage to history and saying, let's name this Starcade, and people start to complain. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Hugo, you're back. What? Your thoughts on this whole thing.
I missed your question, Mike. I'm sorry.
The whole Starcade thing and Brandi Rhodes and Cody Rhodes saying that the WWE didn't give them credit for this event, paying respect to Dusty. And that's where my JMO just came from in my thought process. I don't think that this is something they're doing out of spite of Dusty, not to give Dusty credit. They've done nothing but give Dusty credit since he's passed.
Yeah, no, remember, at the end of the day, the WWE does own the rights to call whatever they want to call because they own every single WCW name on their book. They don't have to give credit whatsoever. I think this is just Cody Rhodes perhaps maybe, trying to get something out of the WWE and be like, oh, you didn't give me the respect that I deserve. I think it's all baloney, to be honest with you. They don't need to give credit to anyone. And I know how much you love Dusty Rhodes, and I know how much you've always said that he's one of your top 10 wrestlers of all time. But for them to be like, oh, you know, that they definitely need to go ahead and pay respect because of Dusty Rhodes, it's just nonsense. The WWE could do whatever the hell they want with their name. They own the name, and they want to put 12 WCW pay-per-views also, maybe that Dusty Rhodes also put on the map and not give one single shout-out to him. By all means, that's what they're more entitled to do that. They own the name. The WWE could do whatever they want with their own name, and no one can complain and cry about it.
Point blank and simple. We got about 9 minutes left in the program. What do we want to see from this go-home show tonight, guys? I'm looking for a great Raw. And I'm going to say this. Raw has been incredible over the last 5 weeks. I don't give a damn what you say. I have watched it and stayed up to 11 o'clock, 11:15 every single night. And I cannot wait. Shout out to my man, Grand Body P. That's MVA, the infamous, on the Twitter, checking in from what's the name of the damn podcast now? Jams Podcast.
Jams.
Jams Podcast. And they changed the name, and I had to think about what it was for a second. My apologies. But I'm excited for Raw tonight. I cannot wait. I tell you this much. They don't want, and I'm saying this again, Raw will have a great go-home show because Asuka don't want it. Now, Nia Jax, the same way the Braun Strowman show tonight will turn into the Brock Lesnar show. And tonight, look for Roman Reigns to come out on top. However y'all want to squish it, write it, rub it down. Oh, no, I don't care. Roman will come out tonight. And I'm going to save it for Friday. No, I won't. Roman Reigns will beat John Cena. I said it. Oh, and you know I love John Cena. Pause. I do. I don't care what y'all say. I got a wife and she's fine. John Cena, I love John Cena. I always have. I always will. Yes. He may not be the guy I met, but the guy I met was genuine, and I watched Total Divas and Total Bells and all that kind of stuff. I think John Cena is one of the most genuine, that's who he is, people I've ever seen in entertainment, okay? But Roman Reigns will win tonight. The problem with Roman Reigns and the fans is it's not Roman Reigns, fans. The WWE has to let go of the handcuffs against their wrestlers and let these guys be who they are. Either let them fail or let them succeed on their own because they're failing the majority of the fans by going off your playbook. Let them call an Omaha. What do you guys say about that, Hugo? What do you see tonight on Raw?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch Raw last week because obviously, you know, extreme right. Circumstances that happened here in Florida. So I'm excited to watch Raw. I'll definitely be watching it from top to bottom. Before last week's Raw, I definitely did enjoy what John Cena and Roman Reigns have been doing. I didn't get to catch last week, like I said, so I don't know what happened exactly between them two. But based on what you're saying,
John Cena has been a verbal whoop down.
Okay, so I definitely do expect something with Roman Reigns this upcoming week as well to come out swinging.
He did say what you shouldn't have said was like a drug test. You can't pass me. People thought John Braun Strowman, shouldn't say that, but
by the way, I heard on the grapevine that John Cena might not be on Raw tonight because I think he was in China over the past weekend. But I hope he's there tonight. I really do hope he's there tonight because
Will he be there via satellite?
It could be. Via satellite in China.
Can Kyrie Irving show up since he made his heel turn on First Take today? Will Kyrie Irving be there? That is the question also.
But Mike, really quick, so I can give Michael the floor. Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar. I definitely do see Brock Lesnar hopefully doing something. Obviously, turn around because from what I've read from last week, it was also Braun Strowman coming out on top. So definitely, Brock Lesnar has to bring some heat and obviously go in there as the defending champion. I cannot wait for that match actually on Sunday. Two big men. I definitely have loved what I've seen from Braun Strowman, and I've said this for about 3 months now. I think Braun Strowman has been great, and let's see what happens with Nia Jax, Mike. I think you asked me that question. Do we need a dominant women's champion? Mike, my answer is yes. Last time that we saw one was China. We need one, and Nia Jax could definitely be that woman to be dominant, Mike, and I cannot wait for Raw tonight. I'm excited to get back to my wrestling after 2 weeks of pure hell down here in South Florida, so I'm excited to watch my wrestling tonight, man.
I'm glad you brought something up that I really, truly hated, and I tweeted it out last week. I did not like how they wrote into the script the way that Braun Strowman took that Suplex City from Brock Lesnar. He took him to Suplex City and he kicked the city. He burned the city down when he got right up from it. I absolutely hated that, Michael. Real fast.
Oh, that's wrong. Yeah.
What you want to see on Raw tonight? Bring it up out of here, and I'm going to end this with something special.
Cool. Well, all I want to see is just, you know, a solid go-home show. I want to see Brock Lesnar look like he can actually, that he's not just going to be punked out. I also want to make sure that Roman Reigns, in some way, form, or fashion, has the ability to come out on top, at least verbally. If he can come out on top of those verbally, kind of sell that he can actually beat John Cena, because I agree with you, he's going to beat him. It's not even a question. It's going to happen. If John Cena wins that match only to go away for 4 months, that's all I can say about that. But that's all I want to see. I want to see Nia Jax become dominant so that she can get her butt whipped by Asuka at WrestleMania. So let's go.
Boo. Well, hey, guys, rest in peace to the greatest wrestling manager that ever lived.
I manage Superstar Billy Graham in Chicago. And one night, Ivan Pusty slammed me on top of you, and you had so many bumps on your body, it hurt my back for a month. And I managed Harvey Race in 1968. When I found out I was going to be here tonight to be inducted with Harvey, knowing Harvey, I thought we were going to be indicted. But this man, we had more fun together, and he is one tough man. Believe me, one tough man. The things he's been through in life, six or seven, how many times world champion? Harry, wake up and I'll throw dirt on you. Eight times heavyweight champion of the world. Excellent. Then I managed Bob Remus. As we went down the back roads in Peoria, just laughing, knowing our wives would never believe we were riding with four fat girls taking us to the airport so we could save $20. He says to me, if this car flips and we're dead, they're never going to believe us. Then he said, Bobby, stop it. You've made them all laugh, and they've only got 17. And that was counting us. And then I went from there to managing everybody they threw in front of me in the WWE. Oh, excuse me, did I say something? Wait, let me do this now. You want to talk about wildlife? When I came here, they had the three freebirds. They had the junkyard dog, mad dog, two bulldogs, a guy with a Matilda, another dog. There was a junkyard dog. You had insects. You had two killer bees. You had serpents. You had a guy with a snake. You had a Hawaiian guy with a lizard. I'm not done yet. And you ready for this? And to top it off, I'm the weasel doing commentary with the gorilla. Damn it.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Who is great? What does it take to even be considered great? At Biomat USA, we know that everyone has greatness inside of them because the plasma in your blood is exactly what doctors need to save lives. So the answer to the question, who is great, is simple. It's you, the second you walk through our door and donate.
Earn up to $325 per month when you donate at Biomat USA in Richmond on South Laburnum, across from White Oak Shopping Center,